We'll proceed to the fourth case of the day, the United States v. Abu Shawlish. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, may it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant, Muhammad Abu Shawlish. Mr. Abu Shawlish was the executive director or agent of an organization known as Arabian Fest, and in that capacity, the evidence showed that he fraudulently obtained grant funds from the city of Milwaukee. He was charged with and convicted of fraudulently obtaining over $5,000 in federal grant funds. Problem is, the indictment was, the wording of it wasn't sufficient to charge the offense, and the evidence wasn't sufficient to support Mr. Abu Shawlish's conviction.
Is that because you think he wasn't an agent of the city?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, what if he's an agent for whatever this organization is, and he helped facilitate getting that organization funded by the city, and then he takes, as an agent for that organization, he takes money. Why isn't that a sufficient chain to be a proper charge?
Because he has to have defrauded the same organization for which he was an agent. He was an agent of Arabian Fest, but he defrauded the city of Milwaukee.
He didn't defraud Arabian Fest?
Well, he may or may not have, but that wasn't how the indictment was framed, so that wasn't what he was charged with, and the evidence didn't show that he did. Maybe the government had evidence to show that, but they didn't introduce it. The evidence showed, as they argued in closing argument, that he defrauded the city of Milwaukee. This fact that he used Arabian Fest as an intermediary, similar to Genova, which the government cites, doesn't change the fact that the money came from the city. In that case, they used a law firm and said that, wait a minute, the money came from this law firm, not the city, so we're not guilty. And this court said, no, a thief doesn't get good title to the funds when he receives it. The money came from the city, and that's the same as in this case. The use of Arabian Fest as an intermediary didn't change the source of the funds.
It was still city funds.
Correct. Of course, the government's theory that the agency relationship can be with some entirely separate entity than the agency defrauded conflicts with the language of the statute. The main paragraph of the statute says that an agent of an organization of a state, local, or Indian tribal government or the agency thereof may violate the statute. And then a subparagraph says that the property must be owned by or is under the care, custody, or control of such organization, government, or agency. So the language and structure of the statute shows that there has to be that relationship between the agency and the organization that was defrauded or otherwise stolen from. And even if there was any doubt, the rule of lenity requires a narrow construction of penal statutes. You know, an act isn't covered by a statute just because it's similar to what actually is covered by the statute. And in this case, the government could have easily charged mail fraud or wire fraud, and based on what the rest of what happened below, I might be here, but it wouldn't be on this argument.
It's interesting. You admit guilt, but not as charged.
Well, I'm admitting that the jury could have found the guilt as charged. Semantic distinction, but and for purposes of appeal, I'm admitting that he was. The evidence certainly showed that he was guilty of mail fraud or wire fraud, but it didn't show that he was guilty of the evidence that, or I mean, of the offense he was charged with, and that's an important distinction. Since we rely on the rule of law, the government has to charge and prove the correct offense.
There were two counts.
There was actually only one count that he was charged with, that he was tried on.
Tried on one count, but
yes.
Charged with two originally.
Right, but the government dismissed the other count.
The other one was worded differently?
Let me believe it was somewhat. I haven't, since he wasn't tried on it, I haven't concentrated on that.
That's all right. It's okay. I think it was different, significant. There might have been a significant difference in the one that was dropped than this one.
I think you may be right, but I'm not positive without going back to look at it right now.
Sorry, don't worry about it.
Because of the problem of charging with defrauding one organization while an agent of another, this court should order the district court to dismiss the indictment against Mr. Abu Shawlish. And as I said, the evidence is insufficient to was sufficient to show what the government argued during its closing argument, that he defrauded the city of Milwaukee, but there wasn't any evidence that he defrauded Arabian Fest. And as I said, the funds came under Arabian Fest control as a result of the fraud, not before it. And then after that, some of the money was used to pay for computer equipment, other business expenses, wages. But there wasn't any evidence that his executive director, Mr. Abushuish, didn't have the authority to make those decisions about how to spend money, if it had been legitimate income. There wasn't any evidence that Arabian Fest was even harmed, which is probably why the district court at sentencing said that he thought the reason for the fraud was to try to keep Arabian Fest afloat.
But if Arabian Fest is the focus, it should have been the focus, couldn't directors of, this obviously was a very small corporation, defeat the statute by agreeing that, oh, that's all right, that we agreed with what the disposition of those funds were?
This particular statute, perhaps, but as I said, the government could have simplified things and charged a different statute, and that wouldn't have been an issue at all, because you would have taken Arabian Fest out of the equation. We just would have had to prove the use of mail or wire as part of the fraud on the city of Milwaukee. Really, a lot of times the organization that's the alleged victim is going to be the first one to determine, and if it's not federal funds, the last one, whether they were defrauded. Obviously, when it is federal funds, the government has a say in how that money's spent, but Congress didn't intend to direct how all money was spent by an organization that receives federal funds. The government also criticizes how Mr. Abushuish spent the wages he received, but he was entitled to spend wages any way he chose, just as anybody else is entitled to spend wages once they receive them in any legitimate manner. But there was no evidence that he wasn't owed the wages for work that he legitimately performed for Arabian Fest, because he did do some legitimate work for them. We don't know what he was owed for that. Bottom line is that Mr. Abushuish may very well have committed a federal crime, but it wasn't the crime that he was charged with and convicted of. Therefore, this court should reverse his conviction and order the district court to enter a judgment of acquittal.
Thank you, Mr. Skupik.
Thank you. May it please the court. For the United States, Stephen Biskupic. The government does not contend that there shouldn't be an agency relationship. The statute says that there has to be. The question is, do you define the fraud solely with respect to Mr. Shuish and his agency, which we say the evidence was sufficient. He defrauded a nonprofit organization of money that didn't have to just be owned by them. It could be, or, as the indictment suggested, under their care, custody, and control. Federal government gives, large amounts of block grant money to the city of Milwaukee, more than $20 million a year. City of Milwaukee disperses that down to neighborhood agencies, of which the defendant's group was one of them. And so the question for the district court was, once that money has flowed to the ultimate recipient, can the defendant just say, well, even though I agreed to abide by the HUD regulations, even though I put an application to the city of Milwaukee saying I would use the money for this purpose, can I simply submit a plagiarized report and say I've therefore earned $75,000? And the answer, of course, from the jury and the district court was no. And so the government's position is that the statute is not so narrowly drawn that you have to just focus on Arabian Fest. You can, and there still was sufficient evidence for guilt. The indictment certainly alleged that he was an agent of Arabian Fest, that the money that was improperly taken was under the care, custody, and control of Arabian Fest. But, as the Supreme Court has said in Sabri, the purpose of Section 666 is to protect the flow of federal money from the top down to the bottom. And I guess the point I was trying to make in my brief and citing some of the other cases from the circuit on 666 is if you leave it down to the neighborhood agency or, conversely, the local government that may have gotten the money, then the federal government is at the whim of
potentially corrupt owner or corrupt directors of that organization, whether they be elected or appointed or however they got there, where they can say, well, even though we told the city of Milwaukee or higher up the chain, the federal government, that we were going to use this money for block grants or we were going to use this money for neighborhood development, we, without telling anyone, decided to go to Las Vegas and use it on gambling, or we decided to use it for some other corrupt endeavor. And that certainly is not the purpose of the statute. That's certainly not how it's framed in any way, and that's not how the indictment in this case was framed. It was framed, and the language in the indictment said that Mr. Shewish was the head of this organization. It was an organization that was incorporated, and therefore it wasn't just him personally, that organization received HUD money under express conditions of how they would spend it, and that he didn't spend it that way. He cheated the organization and then ultimately the city of Milwaukee and really ultimately the United States government out of the money. And really, when you get down to the technicalities, the money was deposited into the Arabian Infest account. It was advanced to do the work, and he took it out and he spent it for whatever he wanted. He said, well, these were rightly earned wages. How could they be? He didn't do anything. I mean, he submitted a plagiarized report. And so from the government's perspective, whether you interpret the statute narrowly or broadly, he violated it. Now, we would also suggest that for future cases that you be careful about interpreting it narrowly, because ultimately the purpose of the statute is to protect the broad flow of the money. So just to address your question, count two, that was county. He had a separate contract with the county. It was much less, a little different facts, and frankly the district court said you only got a couple days to try this, so we dismissed out a count that really didn't impact the guidelines one way or another, even if he had been guilty.
Is there a policy reason why the government chose this route as opposed to wire or mail fraud?
I don't
want to take advantage of the fact we have the U.S. attorney, and I'm not asking you to. The executive can make its call, and that's not our role to question it. But it does come up in the context of Mr. Anderson's argument. So
But as this court knows, mail fraud carries its own hurdles of, you know, not just the technicality of mailings, but, you know, the fiduciary duty that's at stake. Obviously, he had a duty to his organization. Really, the only mailing was his initial, I think the city wrote him a letter saying your contract was approved. And so whether or not there was a mailing in furtherance on his part or when the fraud came to be, it seemed to me that, as the executive, that 666 is designed to protect the flow of federal money. Most of the litigation has been about it goes to an organization, and then we're talking about another pool of money within that organization. But this was clearly the federal dollars.
Well, there's no question of that. It's just, you know, struggling with that plain meaning of one, you know, under A.
Yeah. But you have an agency that received in excess of $10,000. He was an agent of that agency. The money was under the care, custody, and control.
Well, when it says, or any agency thereof, do we have to somehow broaden a recipient like Arabian Fest to become an agent of city of Milwaukee, maybe?
No, not at all. Because think about block grants. Yeah. I mean, Milwaukee gets $20 million worth of block grants, and that all goes down to neighborhood organizations. And what the HUD has put in place and the city adopts and passes on to Arabian Fest, I don't have the exhibit number in front of me, but if you take a look at the contract that Arabian Fest signed, it's a form HUD contract, which lays out all their responsibilities about bookkeeping, about where the how the money can be spent. And so when you talk about, gee, are we just picking any old neighborhood organization and subjecting them to federal jurisdiction? They come willingly towards it for the money.
No, there's no question that's the case. But when you parse it with an agent of the organization or of a state, local, or Indian tribal government, when we add on or any agency thereof, we then be permitting a theft by a secretary in Arabian Fest of some monies? Is she or he then under the purview? I mean, they're federal dollars,
right?
I guess that's my concern is how to cabin your theory here.
Right. Well, first, the statute cabins it. It's got to be more than $5,000.
Well, I appreciate that.
Right. And once you incorporate whether it's a political subdivision, you know, or a neighborhood group into it, the purpose, at least as the Supreme Court says, it all comes in, you know, and even if it's not federal dollars. But really, realistically, I mean, here you have the person who ran the organization, who was instrumental in the fraud. The worry that we would go after the secretary or a book, you know, somebody lower level down, well, it's the same worry that if you have a small political entity, a government entity, a small suburb, say, same situation. So it really doesn't alleviate the worry of the court that just because it's a neighborhood group. But again, to the extent there is a worry about the neighborhood groups, this is a lot more organized than it may suggest from the record.
See if I understand this. This organization is an agent of the city of Milwaukee.
No. He's an agent of the organization.
Right. I understand.
The organization receives more than $10,000 in federal dollars.
Right.
That's the two statutory requirements. He doesn't have to be an agent of the city of Milwaukee. I mean, to a certain extent, it becomes symbiotic
What's the contract, the significance of the contract between the city of Milwaukee and this organization?
The significance of that contract, at least from the federal interest, is it incorporates all the HUD regulations, all the HUD requirements. This is block grant money. You have to abide by certain bookkeeping things. You have to abide by the purpose that you receive the money. In other words, you can say that let's say he was really an agent of Milwaukee because of the contract or something. You're saying, okay, as an agent, you're accepting certain responsibilities, which haul you into federal court when you violate those responsibilities. And what I'm trying to say is the worry that it's a neighborhood group really isn't there because those same responsibilities apply through the contract. And again, it's federal dollars all the way down from top to bottom. Unless there's any other questions, I assume my time has the court affirmed the conviction.
You have more time, but you're not constitutionally mandated to use it.
Oh, that's okay. I would waive the rest of my time. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. First, I would point out that the indictment says that as a result, $75,000 of federal block grant funds were spent by the city-administered fund on a study that had already been completed, paid for by another organization. I don't know how it can be any clearer that it was the city-administered fund, ultimately the city, and indirectly the federal government that was defrauded and not Arabian Fest, according to the indictment. Now, we're not arguing that Mr. Abishwish was allowed to knowingly submit a plagiarized report. Certainly, he wasn't. That was a breach of the contract and probably a violation of another statute. Sabri, which the government cites, is a bribery case, the other part of this section that we're not dealing with. And as I've pointed out, the money would still be protected under the other fraud statutes, even if it's not under this one. There was, in addition to the initial letter mailing, the mailing of the report to the city, phone calls, and I think other ones, but that's less clear. But all it takes is one in order for the jurisdictional hook. And the logic of the government's position, as the court pointed out, would apply to any agent of the organization, no matter what level. And finally, the cases the government cites, which it alluded to just now, from this circuit, are all irrelevant. In George, the defendant wasn't convicted under this section, and he was a state senator and had some authority over how money was spent. In Spano, the argument was that Section 66 was unconstitutional, which is not what we're arguing, and the defendant was a director of a city department. In Genova, you had a mayor, public works commissioner, and accomplices, and there was no argument that the accomplices would have been guilty without the others. And Fernandez, once again, a mayor and two accomplices, and the argument was that there had to be a link between their conduct and the federal interest. And that's not the argument in this case either. So because of the lack of connection, either charged or proved, between the fraud and Mr. Abishwish's agency, we ask this court to reverse Mr. Abishwish's conviction.
All right. Thank you,
Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson, and thanks to the Defender Services for reaching up and going to Wisconsin for the defense, and it's good to see the U.S. Attorney in court, too. Thanks to both counsel. Case is taken under advisement.